Who can tell me how many weeks are there before Christmas? 4 weeks before Christmas. So that gives us 4 Sundays, is it? Pardon? 3 Sundays. Yes, including this Sunday. So what do we usually do when we've got 4 Sundays remaining before Christmas? Anyone who can tell me why we do that? Is it just a thing of the moment, or it has got a meaning? Advent. We are in Advent. Advent is that time of waiting, isn't it? So we start today by lighting the first candle. These candles have got symbols. They've got colors. Forgive me for the colors that I have. Just think it's pink, purple, and white. There's a white one anyway, but I couldn't find those colors as in that sequence. The purple candle is a candle of hope. This candle reminds us that God keeps his promises. He promised a savior and he sent one. So today we are going to light the candle of hope. Unfortunately, all our children have gone. We wanted one of the children to light the candle. Richard. Oh, George, yeah, George, come, George. George, come. Come, George. If this candle is not burning, George, I'm not going to preach. So you need to light it up. Anyone? Thank you, George. Well done. George, now I am going to preach because you've done the undoneable. Good morning, all of you, this morning again. I think you're now used to me, your regular preacher, who always sometimes preach to you with a different accent. But God is good. I want to remind you what happened when I became a Christian. We used to have missionaries from this country. So this is why I thought God has got a purpose in this text. Missionaries came from this country who didn't know, had no clue of my own language, but they preached to us. And I turned to Christ. And I'm here today. But before I deliver my sermon today, I want to tell you about this story. I've got a grandson. One day, he was saying to me, "Granddad, look at my six-pack." So I ignored him. You know, I kept on doing what he was doing. And he noticed that I hadn't responded to what he said. I said, "Granddad, look at my six-pack." So I said, "Well, this little boy is looking for attention." I said, "What is six-pack?" "Oh, Granddad, you are backward. You don't know what's a six-pack." He pulled out his shirt and showed me his little chest, which can hardly fit in my palm. I said, "This is what we call a six-pack." "Wow." I said, "Oh, is that so? Did you know that a human mind, in our daily lives, what affects you is what is in your mind?" This is why I said this morning, my theme is changing the mindset. It is because the human mind needs to be changed for the things that are around you. What we think influences our behavior, if you do know that. Look, my grandson was saying, "Look at my six-pack." I pretended like I didn't know what was a six-pack. I knew. But at his age, he's only 5, telling me about six-pack. Surely, surely, this was something out of nowhere at his age. But I had to attend to what he was saying. So this morning, as we are sitting down there, right, if you were to change something on you, not the circumstances around you, but yourself, what is that you will change? If it is your hairstyle, maybe you think, "Well, I want to be like Madonna." Your teeth, some people will say, "I want whiter teeth." Like my daughter doesn't take tea because she says the brownish from the tea will ruin the color of her teeth. What about some people? Haven't you seen people trying to change the shape of their teeth by putting braces? What we think influence our behavior. This morning, Jesus was now telling the high priest, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees what was missing in their vocabulary. They still didn't get it why Jesus had come. Jesus had come to prepare them to go home. But they missed it. He gave them an example of the vineyard which they were used to. This parable of a vineyard is something like this. Right now, we are in this world. It's a vineyard. God has put us in this world. So those days, a vineyard was to be protected against wild animals, against thieves. So they had to put a strong fence around the vineyard so that the vine plants were not destroyed. So the Lord as well has put us in this vineyard, his vineyard. We are protected. So someone might say, what is protecting us? The Holy Spirit is protecting us. But only if you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you don't, then you've got no protection. The protection that we need is against thieves of this world. The protection that we need is when that mindset of ours is leading us astray. That's why I said we need to change our mindset when it comes to things of Christ. In the Old Testament as well, there were prophets that were sent. But people ignored them. In the New Testament, we had preachers who came to preach. And they were ignored. I told you earlier on when I started that I remember the missionaries that came to Africa who didn't know how to speak my language. But when they came, we listened to them. We listened to them. This message at this time is actually calling people to go back, to return back to God. Amen? People need to return back to God. I want to read this verse text to you. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 15 and 16 says this. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent the word to them through the messengers again and again because he had pity on his people and on the dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy. Right now, we are at that juncture because people are rejecting God. People need to hear the message that was preached. People need to hear what the preachers are saying. Don't look at who the preacher is, but look and listen. What is the word of God that preacher is preaching? This morning, I'm preaching for people to return back to God. Amen. Have you heard about politicians crying about immigration in this country? It's the headlines of the news. I want to tell you, unless people return to God, they will still cry. And God says in his word, he will let your riches go to foreigners. Amen? Unless people return to God, this will happen. And it's coming. It's the word of God. We should stop crying about migrants coming in here. They are taking away our benefits. They are taking our housing allowances. Let's return to God. We won't cry about all these things. So Christ was telling these people on that day, this is what it is all about, because people have forgotten God. Doesn't Christ say, for my sake, take my yoke, which is lighter. My burden is lighter. Take my yoke, which is lighter. My burden is lighter. This is the Christ I know. He is the person, he is God, he is a deity, he does what he says. So people need to change their mindset because Christ is that protection around you, is the fence that I told you about around the vineyard. So if you don't have Christ around you, you've got no protection, my brother. When you fall ill, whom do you call if Christ is not your protection? If things are not going your way, whom do you call if Christ is not your Savior? So I'm saying to you this morning, let's go back to Christ. Let's preach and tell people about Christ, who is our salvation. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You can only have the mind of Christ if you are in Christ. But if you are not in Christ, you don't have the mind of Christ. Right. Now, this time now, I've said the changing of what is around your appearance. I spoke about your hair. I spoke about your teeth. Now, what about if I were to say, change what's inside you? Are you going to change your mismanagement of your financial situation? Are you going to change your tendency of getting angry easily? Are you going to change the idea that you have of ignoring other people? Unless they look at me, I haven't seen them. You're cheating yourself, you have seen them. So what are you going to change around you, inside you? So you need to change from outside, inside. Your inside need to be changed to be Christ-like. So that mindset need to change also. How are we going to invite people to Christ when we are easily tempered? How are we going to invite people to Christ when we are easily angered? How are we going to invite people to Christ when we ignore other people? It's time for transformation, ladies and gentlemen. There is a story in the Bible. Joshua, after Moses had died, the Lord said to Joshua, "I want you to lead my people into the promised land." Joshua didn't query what the Lord told him. Joshua just listened to what the Lord had told him. So Joshua sent spies to the promised land. If you know that story, the three spies, when they go to the promised land, who looked after them? Rahab. What was Rahab? Say that again. Prostitute. Okay? But according to the NIV, if you look in the footnote, it says a housekeeper. Okay? But the original text in Hebrew, I don't know what it says. But prostitute is the word that goes in here. Today, if you were to hear, maybe you know a house here where it's a brothel. And you hear that, oh, we saw girls coming out of the brothel. What comes in your mind? Yeah, but what comes in your mind? One of you will say, "Oh, our minister was coming out of that brothel." What comes in your mind? Exactly. What will come to your mind is, "No, Gilson, how can you do that? A minister coming out of a brothel." You see, we need to change that mindset. We need to change that mindset. When Joshua sent these spies, this very prostitute who is despised by the society looked after them. Exactly. But we want common thinking of an ordinary person. What will they think automatically? Where I come from, I want to be honest with you. If a minister is seen coming out of the beer hall, or to be seen holding a pint of beer, right now as I'm speaking, even at college, at Bible college, if a minister in training is seen holding a bottle of beer, not drinking, just holding, even if someone said, "Can you hold this for me?" You're dismissed straight away. So we need to change that mindset. Rahab, a prostitute, looked after these spies Joshua had sent. When they went there, they spied, and the king knew and sent his servants to go and look for them. What did she do? She hid them in the loft. I didn't know those days they had lofts as well. So after the servants of king had left, Rahab let these three spies through the window. And listen, where was her house? It was on the boundary of the wall of Jericho. So, in other words, she was like a sentinel herself. So she let these three spies through the window on a rope. I didn't know prostitutes can do such a marvelous thing. And they had a vow together. When they got back, Joshua, he didn't even question what God was about to do, because it's changing the mindset. Listen and obey. Hallelujah. This is what it is all about. This is why Jesus brought this here. Because the high priest, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees were not getting it. So he wanted them to change the mindset. We need to change our mindset as well. Joshua carried the people to the promised land because he listened to God. Your promised land, God knows about it. Joshua didn't say, oh God, if all this was, we've spoken about predestiny some other time. Maybe they will say, God knows my destiny anyway. Why should I bother about this? No. God doesn't advocate laziness. He wants us to work. Hallelujah. Use your mind as well. Use your ability to do something. Joshua sent the spies and they went there and all was well. We are going to set off on such a day. Here's another problem. There was River Jordan, which was flooded in those days. It was in season. He didn't ask God, how are we going to do it? He said, okay, I will lead your people to the promised land. They got to the River Jordan. What happens? Water stood on both sides. Stood on both sides. And they walked on dry land. You remember the story of the Red Sea? Water stood aside again. And they walked on dry land. But on Moses' time, they were always nagging Moses. And God said, okay, I've seen this Israelite. All these ones who are nagging Moses, including Moses himself, he won't see the promised land. What does God do? He asks Moses to stand on top of the mountain. And in the horizon, he could see a land flowing milk and honey. And God said, boy, you are not going there. You are not going there. So God made sure all those who were grumbling always, they died. Only two went to the promised land, including Joshua. We need to change the mindset. There was River Jordan in front of them. They didn't ask. Because God knows the promise that he has for your life. God knows what he wants to do with your life. All he wants is submission. And he wants you to change your mindset. There's something I forgot to tell you about when I was telling the change out, the appearance that you want to change. I am amazed these days about how the young people dress. Have you seen boys dressing with their underwears all up to here? And even designers also have now designed their trousers, which is like, you know, they need to change their mindset. That trousers need to be changed. We don't want to see boys' underpants around as we walk around. We want people who are decently dressed. So I want boys to change their mindset too. Because Joshua changed the mindset of the Israelites. I am praying that people's minds will be changed in this life right now as we are here. I want to tell you also a story about things that are common to us in life. Have you heard about a caterpillar? Do you know a tadpole? Yes, you've heard about that. Now, when a caterpillar changes to a butterfly, it's no longer a caterpillar. When a tadpole changes to a frog, it's no longer a tadpole. This is what they call a metamorphosis. That change, that is what I'm asking you to do. We want a metamorphosis in the people of God when it comes to God's stories. We need really change now, especially for this nation. We want to change and come back to God. We are people who are supposed to be transfigured inside out, outside in. No place should be left on you. You are a transfigured person. Metamorphosis has taken place. You are no longer a tadpole. You are no longer a caterpillar. You are now a butterfly. You are now a frog. You are no longer going to be a tadpole. So sometimes there is a question that Paul writes in Romans, say, now should we carry on sinning because we have received grace? The answer is no. We must perfect ourselves as Christ did. We need to be people who are perfect. Because there is no second grace. Amen. There is only one grace. Once you have received the Lord Jesus, perfect your way. We need to change that mindset. Are you with me? We need to change the mindset. Right, finally, Ephesians 1 verse 13 to 14 says this. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So that text we read when he sent his son, they also said, well, there is the heir. Let's grab him and kill him. And they killed him. We don't need to kill the heir. We are part of it. We don't need to kill the heir to inherit. We are part of it. Paul has just told us in Ephesians. We have also an assurance that we are not citizens of this earth. Amen. Don't bother yourself by saying, well, I don't have property, I don't have this, I don't have cars, I don't have relatives. Don't worry. You are passing by. You don't know those things here. You are a citizen of heaven. Amen. So be prepared for the coming life, because you are not a citizen of this place. So we don't need to kill Christ. We need to do as Christ was doing. Amen. For other people to know also about this living God, about this living Christ. Paul says finally in Romans 12 verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. I like that. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Glory be to God. Are you renewing your mind this morning? We all need to renew our minds, geared facing on Christ, not facing on the earthly things. We are not citizens of this world. Glory be to God. Finally, when the owner of the vineyard appears, because you have done what he has told you to do, he will take you home. If you have been doing what he told, not going to brothels, no, he won't take you home. But if I was going in a brothel to preach, he will say, son, you have done what I asked you to do. I did well. So the king will say, those on my right, come, you have blessed, you are blessed by my father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. It's yours, it's there. But it only needs you to change your mindset. Glory to God. You need to change your mindset. So, we want to thank God for that word. We want to thank God for showing us Joshua, who had his mindset changed. He was no longer the original Israelite who was led by Moses. He was a changed man. So this morning, I ask the people of God to have a mindset which is geared towards Christ. We are part of the inheritance. We don't need to fight for it. But all what we need to do is to perfect our way as people of inheritance. So let each and everyone desire to conform to the life to come. The true transformation that I'm looking for this morning is for you to be changed from a caterpillar to a butterfly, from a tadpole to a frog. There is a man who, his name, if I pronounce it well, Horatio Spafford, the composer of our closing hymn this morning. He went through such metamorphosis, tragedy struck him. Out of all what was happening to him, he composed this hymn, "When Peace Like a River." So we too, disregarding what is going on in our lives, our sufferings, our shortcomings, we will stand up together and sing this song as we say, "It is well with my soul." Hallelujah. Let's stand up together and sing that hymn, please.